Broadcasting from atop the Hensler Financial Building in the heart of Georgia's financial district, Kennesaw, Georgia, Ted Parrish, Bill Lako. This is Money Talks.
And we're back. Bill Lako and Dr. Gene Hensler are somewhere goofing off the first day of the first radio show back for 2014.
That's the way to ring in the new year, right?
Just goofing off.
There you go.
But we're giving out good advice here. This is Atlanta's longest running, most respected money show on radio. I got Ben Crow and Troy Harmon in here with me, Ted Parrish.
So what else we've got? We've got, I think we had another question come in.
Taylor George.
Social media stocks.
Yeah, from Calhoun. Says, as we start 2014, is old tech dead? You always talk about Oracle, IBM, and EMC, but Facebook and Twitter both had their IPO in 2013. I think these are the wave of the future, so now would be the time to jump on the bandwagon, right?
Well,
wave of the future.
I'll be honest with you. The only problem that I have with Facebook and Twitter, outside the fact that I don't use them, and probably could find them on the internet, but I don't care to, is earnings. They really haven't established themselves with good, reliable, stable earnings. And in my book, Facebook and Twitter are more advertising companies. But so, I mean, the same argument could have been made for Google, still could be made for Google.
Right.
And see, that's where the disparity is, in my opinion, and some of these guys on TV pounding the table on these things.
Yeah.
They're automatically assuming that Twitter and Facebook can go out and expand their footprint into other areas just like Google did.
Right.
You know, but you have to have earnings and you have to have financial wherewithal to
right.
do that. And I don't see it right now. It right. could happen, like you said.
Sure.
At what point does that happen where you see a Facebook or a Twitter enter our universe, if you will, of things we may buy for a client?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you can't be 112 times EBITDA.
Yeah.
Not profits.
Yeah,
EBITDA.
You're
and that's price. EBITDA unadjusted for employee options.
Right. A PE right. on Facebook of 140. 140. Yeah. The price is 140 times the earnings. Now, I mean, you have to have some hope that the future is going to be grand. And I think that you could do that, but the thing you have to be careful of in technology, think about this. Google's got, what, like third or fourth largest market cap in the world, something like that. Mm-hmm. They IPO'd 10 years ago. This is a relatively new company.
Yeah.
It's got great earnings, but it got there much faster than these two guys have done it. And if you also think about BlackBerry just 10 years ago when Google broke
it?
In. Yeah, BlackBerry's almost dead.
Right.
BlackBerry was the king because it was the only source that you had that you could achieve your email on your personal
And MySpace failed almost overnight. Okay?
Yeah.
And that was Facebook, remember?
Facebook
I'm not doubting that. Twitter and Facebook will be around for a while, and if they do the right things, acquire the right assets, earn some money off of those the client bases, you know, they could do well. But at the current level in valuations, we wouldn't buy them. Great companies that have gone on to do things like Google always give a long-term investor an opportunity to own them.
Yeah.
And so bottom line is too much risk.
Yeah, there really is. I don't think
for our clients.
And I don't think the risk is priced properly at the moment. I mean, Twitter hadn't even made positive earnings yet. We're talking about, you know, it's less than a dollar negative, but still.
40 times revenue.
You know, you've got a company that's just not making money.
And on the other hand, you got IBM and these other old tech stocks that are churning out cash, that are buying their stock back, that are paying dividends, some of them over 3% and 4%.
Right.
And they're not growing 20% a year, but they're good investments for the long term. You can get 10-15% a year out of those.
Yeah. A lot of them are hardware companies. It's easy to see that who's going to win in that space is whoever's going to be able to lever the cloud to their own liking. So really, we focus more at the moment on the cloud and who's going to win that battle than we do on social media, which we look at as more of a retail venture anyway, advertising type companies. Not to say that they won't make it into our universe of stocks, but right now their earnings are just not quality enough for us to look at them.
Facebook's $132 billion market cap.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yep.
So I'd say let me stay away from those.
They picked the time right to come to the market.
Not saying they're not ran by some wise guys.
Right. We did have a question this week here, guys, from Steven in Atlanta. Have a question about BP stock. Lately, they've switched to American Depository Shares. Do I have a reasonable option to change back to something else without taking a tax hit? Current value is about $45,000. I've been reinvesting dividends since 1985, although I took cash dividend before that. I'm 66 plus years old and plan to work for a while. Also have PNC stock, a TSP, and a few CDs. To add some additional detail, the original shares were actually Atlantic Richfield, which became BP Amoco in mid-2000. Of course, it took a hit after the spill. So a lot of info there, but BP.
That gives me a lot of memories. You said Atlantic Richfield. That was back before this whole conglomerate mergers of ExxonMobil, Texaco, and Chevron. Yeah. I mean, there are so many big oil players.
Right.
So that gives me some really good memories.
Right. And that's probably what he's talking about is, it's switched to an American Depository Receipt or shares, rather. BP actually went on the market in the 70s as a ADR anyway. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's based in England.
Right.
But to get down to the meat of the question, can you sell this or trade it without a tax hit? The question is probably no, but I guess maybe.
I mean, there's kind of a tax side to this, If the key point here is dividend reinvestments, right?
Right.
Because what you have, if you've been reinvesting these dividends every quarter I'm assuming they pay quarterly, then you have multiple purchase dates, right?
Right.
You've got an original lot, and then four times a year you've been buying more shares. So there may be the opportunity to look at this and actually do specific identification of those tax lots and go on a case-by-case basis and see what kind of gain or loss you have in each lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be a way to, there's still going to be tax implications. There's going to be a gain or loss. It's just how much. Maybe you have to dig a little bit and accumulate all that data to figure that out.
If it's in an IRA,
you don't have a problem.
Yeah, right.
But I assume, since we're worried about tax consequences, we're probably talking about a brokerage account. So
That'd
probably be the best advice we could give you on that front.
Exactly. But find some of those shares that were purchased on the dividend before the big oil spill.
Right.
And hope that you've got some losses. If you can. I mean, whoever hopes that they really have losses.
Right.
Only somebody that's too worried about taxes, ultimately. But
he's owned it a long time.
And the thing is, he's not alone. Nobody wants to pay tax.
No.
So
sometimes you have to bite the bullet.
While we're on the oil subject, though, how do we feel about oil these days? I mean, what do you think about, BP overall or oil stocks in general?
BP made it through the spill. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people said they wouldn't come back this fast. They've come back pretty well. Oil in general, is holding up pretty well given that we've seen production in the U.S. accelerate.
In the Wall Street Journal today, the headline was, are we, the U.S. on the verge of being a net exporter of oil?
We're as close as we've been since the 80s.
This is, since the 70s, I think there's been a ban on exporting oil. So, that conversation is coming up.
Well, here's the reason I would say, probably less than we would think we wouldn't export that much is because our oil is like sweet crude.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, I'm just throwing this out there. We might sell the oil that's in the SPR.
Right.
And pump it full of sweet.
The strategic
stuff.
Petroleum reserve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's possible to export. I mean,
there's going to be a lot. I think there'll be a lot of people.
Since 2008.
Man, I think there'll be a lot of people against it. People are going to be up in arms. Why don't we use that extra oil to lower our cost here at home?
Yeah.
So,
the problem is the more protectionist we get, the more protectionist everybody else gets.
Right.
And ultimately, we've lived so long as an importer of oil. I don't know how willing some of those folks are going to be to burn that bridge.
Yeah.
Not being able to buy from the Saudis. Plus, it gives us kind of some. You can't call anything control in the Middle East, but it gives you some kind of a play if you're a big importer of their goods.
So we're not pounding the table on oil prices going up real high unless we have geopolitical threats,
a
shock to the system. However, for oil companies, what they want, not necessarily high oil prices, but stable oil prices.
Yeah.
So if prices are stable, the energy stocks should do okay.
Yeah. And there's plenty of reason on top of the fact that we just talked about commodities mm-hmm. and how they're driven by inflation. We don't see any signs of inflation on the horizon. So why would you expect that, especially given a relatively calm geopolitical scene?
Yeah.
Why would you expect to have huge spikes in price of oil right now? We're at around $95, I think, on the West Texas Intermediate. So we actually do have a question related to this, guys. Jane from Morrow says, I always hear people talking about buying gold instead of stocks. This morning I noticed Yahoo Finance put the price up for crude oil on their site. I think oil could be a good play. How do I actually buy it? So if you want exposure to oil, we actually have a few ETFs that we recommend, mm-hmm. and the top one is USO. It's the U.S. oil ETF,
mm-hmm.
and it tracks West Texas Intermediate crude. You can buy it. That's its mm-hmm. symbol, USO.
Pretty high correlation, right?
Yes, very high. It's probably one of the highest that we found, around 96%. Yeah.
How do they do that? The underlying asset within that ETF would be a futures contract.
Yeah, yeah. It's mm-hmm. a group of futures contracts to some of the more near-term expiration
mm-hmm.
dates. And that gets you there. We also have, like, if you wanted natural gas, UNG is another way to play some of that. But
ETFs have really opened up the world to play just about any asset class or any commodity you want to.
And believe it or not, the tracking error on a lot of those is pretty low, meaning how closely do they follow actually on underlying index or commodity.
Yeah. And that's what you have to be careful of, too, is what underlying index they're following. So in this case, we're talking about West Texas Intermediate crude, which is basically the domestic standard.
Yeah.
So
I guess the big question is, would you buy the commodity or a stock?
Oh, yeah, well, the stocks are going to have more earnings. Yeah. I think they have more potential for earnings.
Yeah,
so I'd rather absolutely.
I would rather
own an ExxonMobil or a Chevron. You're getting mm-hmm. good wide exposure to exploration and production. You're
across
getting,
the globe.
Yeah, you're getting
a dividend too, aren't you?
You are getting a dividend, mm-hmm. which
you don't get that
oil,
from ETF holding futures.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No commodity is going to pay you a dividend. Yeah. So, you know, in the end, I'd rather own one of the companies, the big diversified energy companies are going to be a better bet in that regard.
Yeah.
So even when oil prices do fluctuate, you can often make money in the oil companies.
And she the BP question, they actually she said she owned PNC Financial, and we're going to get into that after the break. I think we have a question about financials somewhere in here, and we'll address that. So, Stephen, if you're listening, we're going to get to that, and we'll give you some insights on that after the break. You know, this is a good segment, guys.
We only got a couple of minutes. You want to try to hit that financial stock question, Ted, here? Let's see. We had Kenneth and Marilyn from Marietta. I heard United Community Banks is close to repaying their bailout money. This made me think of what? Let's see. This made me think with tapering on deck, speaking of the Fed, your outlook for the financial sector, particularly banks. Want the Fed's decision to have a major impact on them directly?
Yeah, in fact, they've had a major impact even when we're talking about paying back debt. They haven't allowed them to do it, and a lot of it is because they want to make sure that they're able to be well capitalized.
They want them financially sound after they pay back, right?
Well, that's their argument, but it also makes you wonder just how much control they lose mm-hmm. when they allow them to pay it back, because at that point, then you don't have
the strings on attached,
the ability.
So.
But you know, in the end, what kind of issues are we going to deal with? When it comes to the regulation in the financial sector, well, we just saw the Volcker rule mm-hmm. and some of that information get passed. And we also saw right over Christmas, like the 23rd or 24th of December, there was a suit filed by the American Bankers Association against that regulation. Mm-hmm. And right immediately when they started filing suit, the regulator seemed to be backing off a little bit, even from what they've passed. And what I really think is at stake, the biggest issue that the ABA has is whether or not this is going to hurt the capitalization of those smaller mm-hmm. banks, because they're using, I know this gets deep in the weeds, but trust preferred securities are now going to be discluded or excluded rather from use as a tier one capitalization. So it makes it kind of tough, but we have the regulation. This is a lot easier than we thought it was going to be. And I really think that banks with this clarity are probably going to be able to, be able to flourish, you know, in the short term going forward.
Yeah. And, you know, we can get into that a little more after the break. That was a good answer, but we can add to it. This is Money Talks. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.